Welcome to Born on the Saturn, your daily guide to cosmic insight and artistic inspiration. I am Deb, here to walk you through this week's horoscope, shaped by the current planetary movement. Remember to check your sun, rising, and moon sign for a complete view. The universe is speaking. Don't miss it. Here we are discussing the energies of the first 2 weeks of November, specifically from November 1st to the 13th. First of all, for those who haven't done so, I invite you to also listen to the episode about the last 2 weeks of October to understand the energies we are coming from and the elements we have dealt with. For example, I talked a lot about the energies of Scorpio since we are in the season of the signs, which began on October 21st and will end with the Sun's transition into Sagittarius on November 21st. Usually I try to tell you about the current energies given by transits and aspects of the sky by discussing two or even three themes. But it's time for these first 2 weeks of November. I've had the need to define just one large, huge, overarching theme, because I believe that more or less everything happening in the sky speaks to that. I would like to start by talking about the first celestial event of these 2 weeks of November, which happens today, November 1st. It's the new moon in Scorpio, which is naturally the conjunction between the two luminaries. This event will introduce the important theme of these 2 weeks, and we are getting there. The new moon phase in astrology is the ideal time to plant a seed, to start something new, or to set a direction. Imagine having an inner garden, complete with soil, grass, and everything that belongs in a real garden. During the new moon phase, we know the ground is fertile, so we need to choose what to plant, what to grow, and which seed we want to nurture. Then later, during the full moon phase, we return to this garden. And if we have cared for that seed in those days, we can assess its growth. We can truly understand if what we plant is genuinely what we want, if it feels like it belongs to us, or if we need to leave it behind. Now the moon, which is the luminary that rules Cancer, is connected to the energies of the water element, as it represents emotions, the maternal, and the flow of time. However, here in Scorpio, it is in a sign where by its nature, it is in fall, and indeed, it is exalted in the opposite sign, which is Taurus. So what does that mean? Does it mean it's a bad moon? No, there are no negative moons. However, it means that these are important symbols that we must consider. If it is true that Scorpio is a water sign that, as I mentioned, is usually particularly compatible with the energies of the moon, it is also true that the water of the moon is clear, transparent, and fresh. Meanwhile, the water of Scorpio is darker, murky, let's say like the sea at night. To dive into Scorpio's waters requires courage and a desire to go deep. Not even the light of the moon can really illuminate its depth. So it is correct to say that in Scorpio, the moon is forced to dwell deep, even if it might not want to, even if it might not feel the need to do so. So what does this new moon ask of us? It is asking us to prepare to question ourselves, to question what we are doing now, to question what we believe, what we feel, essentially our foundation. Because remember, Scorpio is also the symbol of things hidden and deep, the things that support but are not seen, essentially the foundation again. And so we have arrived at the first, actually the only theme of this first 2 weeks of November, which is self-questioning. What does it really mean to question ourselves? Well, I believe it is one of the most difficult things to do, because it means being willing to discover that perhaps we are making mistakes, that maybe the certainties we believe to be pillars of our being might crumble. It also means opening up to the possibility of having to take a step back. Obviously, this also means that we might come out of this confrontation with the assurance that we are on the right path. The second symbol that loudly heralds this theme is, without doubt, Jupiter retrograde in Gemini. Jupiter began its retrograde movement last month, on October 8th, and will end on February 4th, 2025. So naturally, we are talking about something slow and significant, not only for this precious moment, but it clearly highlights this theme. Now, Jupiter is the planet that speaks of beliefs, optimism, certainties. When we have a strong Jupiter in our birth chart, we are confident, self-assured people, in harmony with what we believe to be our beliefs, our structures. During its retrograde phase, Jupiter invites us to review, reassess, and potentially revise these beliefs and structures. It's a time for deep introspection, where we might question the foundation of our optimism and the conviction we hold dear. This period challenges us to think critically about what we accept as a truth and to consider the flexibility of our worldview. Are our beliefs still serving us well, or have they become outdated? Let's also remember that Jupiter is in Gemini, which is a sign of both mental and physical movement. It is a sign that rarely experiences mental stagnation. And it is for this reason that the primary meaning of this transit is, without any doubt, to reflect and take nothing for granted. It is very easy to accept parts of our beliefs as a truth, especially those that feel deeply rooted and supported by past experiences. One really helpful thing you can do is to check where this Jupiter retrograde is acting in your natal chart. Just know which house is Gemini, and you will understand that right there, in that sector, this energy is questioning your most solid and deep-rooted beliefs. To give a practical example, if your seventh house is in Gemini, it means that Jupiter retrograde is acting there, and it implies that the themes that will be most questioned are those related to relationship, the ability to relate to others, and also partnership, collaboration, and everything that is basically shared. This transit might prompt you to reassess how you connect and cooperate with the other, potentially revealing where your approaches might need adjustment or improvement to foster healthier and more productive interaction. Another aspect that I believe revolves around the concept of questioning will occur on November 3rd, in 2 days. It involves Mars in Cancer opposing Pluto in Capricorn. If you want to know what Pluto is still doing in Capricorn, you can listen to the weekly episodes from September and October, where I talked a lot about it. In any case, it will soon enter Aquarius, definitely, but at the moment it is still there in the last degree of Capricorn. This opposition between Mars and Pluto is quite significant, as it represents a confrontation between the energies of action, represented by Mars, and transformation, represented by Pluto. Mars in Cancer, it's all about action taken based on emotional or security needs, while Pluto in Capricorn relates to deep transformation in structures, power dynamics, and long-term goals. These aspects may bring to the forefront tensions that require you to reassess your motivation and the power dynamics in your life, especially in areas related to home and career. It's such a powerful time for breakthroughs if you are willing to confront and resolve issues. Then there is another aspect that forms and pushes us to question our boundaries. So not only internally, but also externally. And it involves Venus in Sagittarius squaring Neptune in Pisces on November 5th. This square challenges us to distinguish between reality and illusion in our relationship, and to redefine our understanding of love and connection, basically. It invites us to consider how our desires for freedom or adventure align with our spiritual or idealistic notions, prompting a deep reevaluation of our relationship's expectations and the boundaries we set or fail to set within them. This is a time for careful navigation through our ideals and the practical aspects of our interaction, to find a balance that honors both our need for connection and our individual truth. Indeed, it calls us for questioning what really happens, especially in the realm of relationship. How much is desire and projection, and how much is true? When it is just an illusion, and how much potential does it have? There is also the topic of limits. How much are we truly giving, and how much are we willing to give? This reflection, this introspection is really, really important in determining the nature of our connection, of our relationships. Venus square in Neptune can distort our perception, making us overly idealistic or too willing to sacrifice our needs for the sake of harmony. So you see, this is another aspect that is basically pushing us to question ourselves, our beliefs, our truths, what we think are our truths actually, our pillars, what we think are our values. Because it's kind of, you know, natural to think that what we feel as our truth is a solid truth, but it's not always like that. We need to remember that we are not all the same. What I am today is not what I was yesterday, and what I will be tomorrow can be different to what I am today. And I think that this is where we need to understand that we need to promote flexibility. And this is what I think this first phase of November is basically telling us. Personally, I'm really, really happy with this push from the universe, because I realize that I'm often anchored to beliefs that while they were once a salvation, an anchor in the light, have become prisons from which I find it difficult to escape. You know, I'm not saying that there aren't truths that need to remain fixed and stable. I'm just saying that it's also right to perceive ourselves as continually changing. And those, it would be harmful not to change, grow, progress, and not leave room for internal change as well. So there are plenty of things to do, reflection to carry forward, and self-investigation in this early period of November, and I would say they are more than enough. Now, I would like to conclude by talking a bit about the practical aspect of what we might call active, evolved, psychological astrology. Let's start from the antiquity and reflect for a moment on what I did with astrological discourse. So they observed the sky, noted visible movements, and made predictions, basically. Naturally, everything revolved around the negative-positive dichotomy. If a transit was positive, they expected abundance, perhaps fertility, perhaps political fortune. If the transit was negative, like for example Mars against, they predicted disasters, perhaps famines, perhaps death. There wasn't much to be done to counter the celestial will. This is because the stars were seen as an indication of a predetermined future, already written. The act of anticipating it was a favor granted by the divine beings of the sky. Now, we don't do this, we are not the Babylonians. We are a civilization that has opened the doors to the unconscious, to psychology, to the possibility that our role here is not so much to live passively, but to make the best out of what we have. The symbol, the archetype, does not command us, but lives in analogy with us, or rather, we, true understanding, do not suffer it, but build it, integrate it. This is the helpful astrology. This is what it means that everything is basically connected. So, for example, in this case, I will really take some time to reflect and question myself. I will question my beliefs, my thoughts, those that really condition my living, even if they do so in a positive way, but I will try to understand if, because of them, I'm blocking other potential. And I really, really, really hope you are going to do the same. As always, I just remind you that we are not listing all the transit and all the aspects that are happening in the sky. We're just talking about the ones that I think are significant for this period. If you want to stay updated on what is happening in the sky, you can follow me on Instagram or visit bernandesato.com. I'll see you next time. Thank you for joining me on Born on the Saturn today. I hope the stars gave you the insight you needed. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more cosmic guidance. And if you want to connect or have any questions, find me on Instagram or visit bernandesato.com. burnandsaturn.com. Until next time, keep shining under the stars.